Welcome to the Music Talk podcast with me, Graham Farmer. In this series of conversations, I interview some of the biggest artists, DJs, and producers in the world. I hope you enjoy this series. Let's get into it. Beth, how you doing?
Hey, ooh. Hey. I'm doing great. How are you?
Yeah, welcome to the stream. Welcome to Mondays on Music Talk with me. How are you doing?
Yeah, thank you. I'm good. Happy to be here. Just I had like a 12-hour sleep this night, so I'm pumped to have like a little energetic session with you today.
Wicked. What did you do the rest of? Have you been back out playing? Have you been? How's your last few months been?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, things are slowly opening up, so out there playing. This weekend I was in Hamburg. There's a crazy great club there. It's called Zuidpool. It's quite alternative, and they don't do a lot of, I'm going to say big lineups, but they have a very solid kind of base and lots of friends all over Germany that always come to play. Also I played 6 to 9 on Sunday. So, that's of course, cool. A very fun time to play as well. Yeah, I got the sunrise, cool. Although we didn't see it. It's a dark club, but it was a lot of fun.
That's cool. And then how's the last couple of years been for you? Have you been impacted loads? Have you kept the label? How's the label release? Did you slow releases down, or what happened there?
So we discussed this a lot. The Stoei is a label I run with Andrea, so it's good to be two people on these things, because you can always discuss a bit back and forth. And I mean, it's a difficult decision to make, because it was so much uncertainty in the beginning.
Yeah.
So we decided to keep releases going, just because we know as producers ourselves that when you make music and you don't release it at some point, maybe you don't like it anymore, or it's just like important to get it out and also keep people happy, you know. I mean, music is such an important thing through your everyday, so it's nice to keep giving it out.
That's cool. And today we're going to listen to some demos in a bit, but I thought before that, I'd talk to you about you and the label and how, I thought we'd go back a bit and I wanted to understand how you got into music, when you started, like where this kind of love for electronic music came from for you. And we'll talk about the label and when the label started in a minute as well. And then later we'll jump in, and then we've got your releases coming as well. We'll talk about that as well.
Yes.
And then we'll do demos. So I thought I'd start right at the start, and then we'll just work forward, basically. So yeah, tell us about you. Tell us, how did you get into music, and when did this all start for you?
So it's a long journey. I think when I was 15, I was listening to a lot of like Gabber and stuff like that, and wanted to be a DJ, but of course my parents were a bit like, yeah, this is really the path you should go with your life. So I kind of forgot about it for a pretty long time, and did the kind of usual things, you know, started studying after high school, always very like into music and always making, you know, a lot of playlists for my friends and stuff like that, but not really starting with DJing. And I had a life-changing experience in Berlin, like so many millions of others. I had an exchange year here as an Erasmus student, it's called, like this European exchange thing. It was my first time going to Berlin, and I was a bit reluctant, and I was like, let's see what this city can do. And arrived here and was a bit overwhelmed, like, ooh, so big and so many people. And let's see, coming from Oslo in Norway, you know, it's a pretty small and pretty like tidy place. So pretty different. But of course, it didn't take long until I discovered the clubbing in Berlin, which captured me immediately. There was a club, it was called Bar 25. It closed a couple of years later, but it was just this, you know, you go there basically on a Thursday and you can just stay until Monday, and it's not just about the partying, but it's this like kind of just love for the music and really like living it, you know. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's just like, oh, I was very taken by this.
Nice.
So I decided Berlin was going to be my place to live, but had to go back and finish my studies and stuff. At some point I met my boyfriend. He's also a DJ and producer, and he was like, oh, you know, you're so into music, why don't you just like try, he has a great studio where we had also two vinyl players and the mixer, of course, standing. And he was like, yeah, you know, I have 2,000 vinyls. Knock yourself out.
Cool.
So when he was out touring on the weekends, I went to the studio and just like played some music for myself. And it was so much fun. Spent many, many hours here alone.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's like kind of a bit.
What would you play? What's he playing? What were you playing then? Is it this similar to what you're playing now? Or?
Well, actually, I don't think we have bought vinyls in quite some time. So these are all like his vinyls from the, I would say, early, late 90s to maybe 2010, 12, something like that. So a lot of like older stuff. But I mean, there's so much great stuff from that era, you know, people working a lot with hardware and also moving like the first moves, you know, over to plugins. And I think it's so fun because there are a lot of artists that did completely different stuff back then. So
I have a
good background on everyone.
That's cool. Yeah, I think I've got loads of vinyl from that period as well. That was a great time for music. Like, I
mean, it was
now, but yeah, it was a great time for music. And then so that was when you moved from Oslo to Berlin, and then
it was a bit back and forth for a while. But I got like an opportunity to finish my master's here, so I was just like, okay, let's go for it. And I started working a bit in the music industry on the side with like administrative stuff, so management for other labels and like a little bit of booking. So I just went for it. I put out the artist podcast on SoundCloud just to, I don't know, put something out there. And actually I got some like booking requests through it, and that was the start of a beautiful career.
That's really cool. SoundCloud was big. That was back, I must guess SoundCloud was popping back then, wasn't it? I mean, it isn't.
I'm not sure. I mean, there's just, I think it was, you know, in the beginning it was still so, or not so much. I don't know. It feels like today it's just so incredibly much there. So it's just difficult to kind of navigate and find stuff. But back then it was maybe a little bit less. Not everybody puts out an artist podcast.
Maybe that's it. Maybe there is so much now that maybe that's what it is. Maybe. Yeah, that's weird. I've been thinking about SoundCloud a lot recently. It's been because I love SoundCloud. It's a platform I absolutely adore. And like, we've had our biggest year on SoundCloud this year, and I still love it, and I still love everything about it. And it's always, but always like, you go into that thought about why certain things aren't as good as they, or were different to what they were, not as good as, but different to what they were, you know, 5-10 years ago, and trying to understand what those are, you know. That's a good point. Like, kind of, there is more, I guess, more content and more. Someone says there's, don't have to deal with bots. There are a lot of bots this year, as well.
Also thinking, like, maybe it's because it's become a bit more of a business as well. Like, I know you can spend so much money in, like, finding ways to get streams and, I'm not completely sure, but I know there are some platforms where you can, like, make sure that it's, like, generated or something like that. So maybe that's why it's a bit.
So then you started touring, and then what? And then you started the label. How did that happen?
Yeah. So at some point, this was like 2015. My boyfriend, he was running a label with some other guys, and we were just on holiday in the mountains in Norway, snowy mountains. We go there like always in January, February to take some time off and just regenerate a bit from all the madness going on. And we were sitting in the sauna, and we had been playing with the idea of maybe making a label, of course, to put out like our own sound, but also because we felt back then and still feel that it's so difficult to find like the exact right sound that you want to play, you know. And we were thinking maybe it's nice to also have a platform where you can let others release the sound that we like as well. Yeah. And even if it's like newcomers, I mean, you also know how hard it is to actually like sign music to other labels and stuff like that. So yeah, it was nice for us to have a platform for our music that we feel kind of personally represented the style that we like, although we also have like different styles, but that's like the fun part of it, because then you make sure that it's also interesting and always a bit like different kind of music coming out. And fun to do something together as well.
That's cool. And then tell us about the name. Obviously, I'm guessing the name is obviously from the mountains and the snow and the mountains and the
yeah. We were sitting in the summer looking out on the snow, and we were like, oh, it's gonna be cold, like snow, it's the word in Norwegian, but we wanted to internationalize it. Nobody wants to see the Norwegian like with this like cross in it, or of course people want to see it, but for us it was like, okay, you know, he's like also German, so let's find a like a middle way.
Yes,
a little bit of both. Cool. In there. Yeah.
That's cool. That's really cool. And then we've got the new release coming out this week for yourself, which is a remix. Tell us about that. Should we play that remix actually before we talk about it?
Yeah, let's play it. Yeah, I'm very excited. I like it a lot, so I can hear it together.
Yeah. Let me jump into here. We can actually play it. We've got it on a player. So you have remixed. I'll play it and then we'll talk about it.
Quite long, cool. Having seven minutes, 20 seconds or something.
That's super cool. So I love that. That was well cool. I was getting well into that. That was well good. So that's a remix for Joanna Bernhardt, who's just announced her a new Bernhardt remix EP, which is off of her debut album from last year.
Exactly.
How did you get involved with that? Because that's on her label as well, isn't it?
Yeah, she's doing like the whole production herself, and also making sure it's going to be on vinyl and everything. So we all know, the struggle. Oh, I'm so getting a bit back in the
image. There you are. There you are.
So it's actually quite a funny and random story. So I'm taking like vocal lessons or singing lessons with teacher at like creative area. It's called Holzmarkt area here in Berlin. And at some point last year, she was like, oh, yeah, I actually have this great friend. She's based in London. She's a violinist and makes electronic music. And she's just now releasing an album. And she actually wanted like some electronic music producers to make remixes. Like, maybe you would like to do one. And I was like, huh?
Sick.
I mean, sure, I'm always up for for new stuff, you know, so you can ask her if she's interested. And so my singing teacher actually sent her like my contact and my music. And I was like, oh, you can check her out. She would be interested in doing a remix. So here, a little shout out to Maren. Thank you again, my nice. Vocal teacher. And we just started writing a bit and she sent me her album. And I don't know, I love it. She's so, so talented. And has a wide range of like, or the songs are just like covering like a wide range of emotions almost, I would like describe it. So if you haven't heard it yet, you should definitely check this one out as well. And I had, I think, two songs that were my favorites, but somehow this one stood out. It's something with this, I don't know, melancholic and optimistic at the same time.
Nice.
Which is, yeah.
So do you get to choose the track you wanted to work on? Yeah.
I got to choose the track I wanted to work on. And it was funny because I actually just at the moment had like a sketch that I already started working on. And I was a bit like unsure how I wanted to kind of continue it. And I was a bit stuck. And I was a little bit like, okay, let's see if I can, you know, combine the two, which I did. And it turned out to be great. So also a track, you know, the groove is it's like a bit layered because I love like percussions and stuff like that. So I went full in with percussions on this one, and also like a little bit of effect stuff and the it was fun because I tried to use something new in every track that I have never used before. And nice. In this case, it's actually a banjo in there, which I don't think you can really make it out. But yeah, of course, it's a little bit like twisted. So it doesn't sound like a proper banjo would probably sound. But yeah, it was a fun remix to play around with, especially also because she is working a bit differently, you know, it's not the classic pattern and stuff like that. So I had to get a bit creative with her remix stems.
Did you have to work differently with it there? How do you normally start with a remix? Like, where's the starting point and where do you go from there?
So I usually just hear through all the parts and decide what I think is kind of interesting to use. I start every track with just like building a groove. You know, it's with the remixes, sometimes they put like a little bit of guidelines, like, okay, you know, kind of a little bit of tone range you can work in or stuff like that. So you can always, of course, adjust and adapt, but that's like a nice starting point at least.
Yeah.
And then for me, I just always start with grooves. I know a lot of people like to start with melodies and get inspired from that. But for me, it's always like the groove first and then everything else second. that was why I was also starting to talk so much about the percussions and stuff, because I usually just sit and play around and see what I can find in my sample. I have a huge sample library. So funny little wooden percussions or toms, of nice. Course. I love toms. Who doesn't love a tom?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Like, you've got a lot of hardware behind you. Is that, are you lots of hardware? Are you producing hardware? Or do you do it plugins? How's that work for you?
So this was also a little bit the part why I wanted to like sit exactly here, because both the Voyager and the Sub 37 is in the song. So I was like, ta-da!
Nice!
No, I use both. So of course I have, this is the studio space of my boyfriend, which he is so kind to let me borrow as well when I need it. But I also have like a little home studio with a bit of different hardware. So I like to use hardware as well. It's of course started with the software and plugin versions, which is, it's great, but I think it's a kind of another step of understanding the, I don't know, how would you say, maybe like, just the creation of sound, maybe to work with hardware as well. So this has become a pretty big part of my routine, and also a great way to get creative.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have go-to pieces of hardware that you literally will pick up straight away?
I do. So I mean, here it's of course Moogs. I'm a big Moog fan. Oh, who is not a big Moog fan? But at home I have like the, how do you say it, can you say the cheap version? The Model D from Behringer.
Yeah, say it. Like, literally, say it.
So I have the Model D at home, which is great. It was the first hardware piece I got, which I think is such a great and basic tool. So I think everyone who's starting out with producing music should get it, because it's so... You know, it has like basic functions. It's a really like hands-on, easy way to understanding all the parts of what makes up a good synthesizer. So this is like, I still love it.
That's cool. I love that they released those series. Yeah. By the way. I literally made it cheaper for everyone, which is much better, you know?
And they sound good. I mean, I also have the Wasp. What's it called? I forgot. The Wasp. Is it Deluxe, I think, or something like that? The replica. Or not replica, but the one that they made. which is also...
You don't want to say replica, do you? The one that looks exactly the same and sounds a lot like the same, but it's a lot cheaper, that version.
Yeah, that version, exactly. Yeah, I need to find a good word for it. but this one is also sounding great. It's like a very nice, it has like this it also has like this always like this little slight melancholy to everything it does, but I think it's a nice one. The TD3 is of course my newest edition. I've got it, I don't remember, but a little while ago, and that's why some of the new stuff of course has like a little bit of acid in them, which love I it. Think it's great that they brought it out. You hear so much acid again now, so it's And it's a fun thing to use. You know, I watched a million tutorials, so I feel quite steady with it now.
Loft Guys in the chat says, how does the Behringer gear hold up against the real deal stuff?
Yeah, so this is like a bit what I spoke about earlier, that I think they sound very, very good. So all of the ones I've had so far, I mean, of course, with the TD3, for instance, if you put it on really high notes, you're going to hear that it's not, you know, the original as a thing. But like in the lower tones, it has a really good push. So I enjoy them a lot. Also the Model D and the Wasp, you know, the resonance and the filters and everything. It sounds top notch. So thank you, Behringer, for making it more available.
100%. Okay, cool. So that remix is out this Friday. Am I right? Is that right?
Yes, 19th. Yeah, so it's Friday.
Yay. Okay, cool. And then on the from your end, from your label, you just had a various artist out, which was Snowflakes 11. Is that right?
Yeah. So we do this a couple of times, 2 to 3 times a year. We make a little like, I don't know if you could call it like a sampler, but a little various artist compilation. Always only 4 tracks.
Yep.
But 4 tracks that we feel are like 4 A-side tracks, you know, we want from different artists. So we usually also try to mix it a bit with bit bigger names and like newcomers or people that are new to the label, just to like introduce them to the people who follow the label.
That's cool.
So this time I feel also it was a good mix. Daniel Neuland. It's so funny because I actually met him at the festival this summer. And he was like, oh, yeah, you know, I made some tracks that I really feel could fit Snowy. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then play them later, you know. I was there for his set. And he plays the song and he turns around and he's like, this is the one. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is so cool.
Nice.
And so, yeah, so that was Back to Church. I mean, I brought it with me home and showed it to Andreas. And he was also immediately like, yeah, this is fat. So that was right away, like, yeah. Okay, we take it. Thank you. And then Colombo is he's a good friend. I and Andreas have worked a lot together. They also do some stuff together. And he had this body talk, which is, I don't know, I love it. It's so, like, daring and, like, edgy. So, yeah, it was also just like, woo, let's do it. Yeah, a little bit, like, different in style, you know, but has a lot of, like, attitude, which I love in a good track. And then we got Memorex. He's a guy from the US who we also have known for a while. He releases a lot on like labels of friends, and he had made a track with Dylan, and they also sent it and they were like, we made this track with Snowy in mind.
Nice.
Which I love, yeah. So yeah, so it's for, and it's of course my track Annapurna, which I had a little, for a while, and I really wanted to release it because it's, I don't know, it's somehow, it tingles my senses. I don't know. I like it. I like it when I play it. I like when I listen to it. So it was, yeah, I think it was a pretty solid.
That's cool.
4-track compilation.
Why do you pick 4 tracks just out of interest?
I don't know. I feel it's like a good number. I am always like a bit worried if it's too many that some of them are not going to be listened to properly. But at the same time, you want to show like a kind of, or you want to have like a little selection. So yeah, we just started with 4 and then we got stuck on 4.
That's cool. Always sometimes, like, because I run labels myself, and I'm always like, when I get label people, and I'm like, I'll ask such selfish questions that I want to know for myself, just in case I could change things in myself, you know, someone's doing something cool that I should be doing, you know. It's like, yeah, some of the questions I get selfish with, you know.
No, but it's good. It's good. It's always fun to talk about as well, because everyone does it differently, you know. That, I think for now it's worked well. It's actually like turning out to be one of our most popular formats, probably because people by now, they know, you know, you get like in pretty a lot, some new faces, and of course usually like 1 track by me or Andreas and some other bigger names. So it's a good like way to adventure into the Snowy sound.
I guess you don't get like, because I guess when you've got things like more than 4 tracks, you get like a fold where it's, you have a plus more, or like when there's on certain websites, you like, for instance, there's always a more section, or there's on Spotify there's a more if there's so many more, than, and I guess that 4 fits into that space nicely.
True. Well, I mean, Spotify, you know, they don't support releases with more than 3 artists anyway, so you don't really get it in your kind of artist section on Spotify, so that's always a bit like sad. now you can, I guess, split it up and send it out as like singles, which we're going to start doing because it's just, yeah, it's just too bad for the artist. You know, they release it and they're excited and then it's like, oh, but it doesn't show in my artist profile on Spotify. And it's like, yeah, sorry. Spotify is like,
Is yours kind of focused more for Beatport then? Are you kind of, is that been your head for sales and...
Not necessarily. No, I think we also, like, I think Beatport and Spotify are like the two big ones, but we also like to cater to Spotify. I think, we're always like a bit unsure if the sound is really something that people listen to, but at the same time, you see like a steady, like growing in streams and stuff like that. So maybe it's like when people need the music for a pre-party, they're like, oh, let's put on some snowy music.
Or a workout playlist, I guess, as well.
Yeah. So this is like super like nerdy label stuff, but we're always like trying new stuff, you know, delivering different length or new masters to Spotify and just seeing what works and what doesn't work. Yeah,
that's cool. I was going to ask you about radio. Do you like, because obviously your links are very obviously dance floor driven. Do you deliver a radio edit for Spotify, or do you just go full length?
Like sometimes we have done it for a few things, like especially of course with albums and stuff we do it, but of course it's always, oh my god, the Spotify world is so complicated. But you know, it's just pitch like one song, so then you have to deliver it in the singles before, and it's a complicated way of doing things. But we try, like we always or we tend to ask the artist, you know, do you want it, or do you prefer to just have like one kind of master and one kind of length for all the shops? But I haven't done it personally yet, but of course it's something you think about, just because, you know, it would be it's always nice to get some extra support from Spotify, because they're such a big player.
Online Lamer, I'm eyeballing their Moogs. I wonder if that is a Moog, what Moog that is behind you.
It's not the Moog One, unfortunately. Or not unfortunately, but Moog One would of course be a great addition to the studio. It is the Voyager and the Sub 37.
There you go. Before we jump into demos, what do you look for from a demo? What do you like from a label point of view? What do you like? If someone was emailing you, what's going to get your attention?
Usually, like the first thing is just, you know, the instant, like, would I play it or would I not?
Right.
Yeah, because it's so much you can do, you know. It doesn't always have to be the best mixing, or even like arrangement wise. You can always, you know, give some tips. I'm not saying that we tell people how to do their stuff, as they always have the artistic freedom to do it. But if people send something and you feel it could be like maybe a bit more exciting arrangement, you know, we always give like a little bit of feedback. And if they are up for it to make some changes, it's nice. If not, maybe not. So we're also very lucky because Andreas is certified studio engineer. So he has a lot of knowledge around this mix downs, and he also does the masterings for the label and stuff like that. So we have everything in-house.
Nice. What's coming up next for the label?
So actually the next release we have is from a new guy that we have never released before, Ben Bechstein. He also just like sent a track a while ago, which was like, is this it for real? Like, wow, this is so great. We need it now. And like, like you kind of like, how have we never heard about him before? So he sent two more, which were all just like so on point. So the next one is actually going to be on him. It goes on pre-sale, not this Friday, but the Friday after.
Of
course, with the label, we always do it. Don't say Beatport, no, I'm just joking. But we also sell it exclusively as like a bundle, all the releases from our homepage shop.
Nice.
It goes online at the same time as pre-sale on Beatport. So
nice.
Always like an opportunity to just grab the full release before it's really out there, you know.
Very wise.
Yeah, we just thought, you know, we have a little shop. We do like a little bit of merch, and we do some free like giveaways every now and then. If it's like some edits we made or sometimes we make like fun backgrounds for the phones, you know. That we put as free downloads to people if they want it, you know. So it's always like good to check out what's new there.
That's cool.
So that's why I also do like music, yeah.
And when's that one out? So that's out towards the end of the month.
Yeah, so it's not the 19th, but is it after that? It's like the 26th.
Yeah, 26.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My
math is like semi good.
Send me that.
Yeah, I will actually. Yeah, I can send it to you. We're thinking to send out the promo soon, but I can just send it directly to you. You're gonna love it. All of you, amazing. You're gonna love it. It's like it's fantastic. It's impossible not to like.
And then do you release in December or do you have a break?
So this one is coming in a part in November and then like a part in December. But we also wanted to do a small like, best of 2021 compilation just again to bring out like all the tracks that were great. And also we always think it's a nice opportunity to release tracks if we feel they didn't get like all of the attention they deserve.
That's cool.
So we did it last year. Yeah, we're gonna do it again. It's sometimes it's a month where there's too much released or you don't know why, but sometimes like releases or tracks, we are like so passionate about every track we release, and then if it's a track where we're like, why isn't this one number one on Beatport? We release it again just in case people missed it, so that they have like another chance of discovering it. Yeah, and then next year it's gonna be some. Yeah, some new EPs, of course, from us, and lots of plans.
Sick. Wicked. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your time. I'm great we found some music for you. Amazing. I love that.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited to like get in touch with guys and see what the future holds.
Amazing. Beth, thank you for your time. Thank you.
I mean, thank you so much for like inviting me to do this. It's been very fun. Nice to talk to you.